Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment, where your questions and comments matter. At 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. This is the season of giving. But have you considered giving the gift of a home to a child in need? Perhaps becoming a foster parent or even adopting? Well, tonight we take a look at what that means for you and the child. My guests are Tara Fentress, Magistrate Judge for the D.C. Superior Court, and Brittany Borders, Foster and Adoptive Parent Advocate. Lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. You can certainly tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Judge Fentress, thanks for joining me. Good to see you again.
Good to see you as well.
And Brittany, thanks for joining us on the program.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Let me start with you, Judge Fentress, and the foster care system. Where do foster children come from?
Foster children come from their biological parents, and they come into care because their parents have issues that have to be addressed that create a safety issue for that child remaining in their care. Issues such as drug abuse, drug addiction, mental health concerns, housing issues perhaps, a variety of issues that create an unsafe situation for the child to remain in the home.
Mm-hmm. And I would also imagine that in some cases that may also include the passing of a parent.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And before a child comes into the foster care system, Child and Family Services Agency attempts to locate the family members or the other parent to see if that child can be placed with family prior to coming into the foster care system. If there's no family available, then a case is open with the court, and then we have children placed legally in foster care.
Brittany, talk to me about your foster parent experience. How did you first become a foster parent? Why did you become a foster parent?
Well, when I was a teenager, it was when I first heard about foster care, and I've always really loved kids, but when I found out what it was, what foster care was, I decided then, okay, when I'm old enough, I am going to do whatever I can to be a voice for kids who had no voice. So it was like one of my requirements when I met my husband, like, okay, I want to be a foster parent. Are you down? And he said yes. So about four or five years into our marriage, we started the process of becoming foster parents.
Judge, talk to me about that process. How does one become a foster parent?
You become a foster parent. You contact D.C. Child and Family Services Agency. There's a number, 202-671-LOVE, L-O-V-E. And you meet with them, give them information. They check out your background, your home, and you have to go through clearances. You have to go through several steps, CPR clearances, make sure your home is...
CPR?
Yes, CPR, to make sure that you can provide emergency assistance.
Oh, okay.
Yes,
just trying to make sure that was... Okay, yes. Cardiopulmonary resuscitation.
That's it.
Wanted to make sure that wasn't one of those legal government acronyms.
No,
please go right ahead.
Nope.
Yes.
And so there are a number of things that you have to complete. You also have to have an independent income outside of a foster care payment. And also the adults in the home also need to be cleared to make sure that there are no safety issues for that child being in the home.
Okay. Do you have to be a foster parent prior to adopting?
You don't have to be a foster parent prior to adopting. That's only if you're adopting a child from the neglect system,
the foster care system. Explain that.
Well, the children who have been removed from their parents have been either abused or neglected, and so they're placed in the foster care system. There is a period of time where the agency and the courts provide services for the families to be able to reunify with their children. If that time lapses, which is approximately 1 year, and they have not made progress, then we look at other permanency options. We're always looking for a permanent, forever, loving home situation for that child, preferably with family. And so when that's not available, then we look at foster homes or foster parents, rather, who are interested in adopting. And when you sign up to be a foster parent, you can either be a foster parent, be licensed as a foster parent, or you can say you want to adopt a child and immediately become a licensed parent for adopting. You have those options when you sign up with the agencies.
So you need a license to do that?
Yes. You become licensed, and there are licensing requirements that have to be fulfilled and maintained as long as that child is placed with you in foster care.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about becoming a foster parent or an adoptive parent. If you have a question, if you have a comment about the process, give us a call. Lines are open again at 202-319-7810. Brittany, you've been a foster parent for quite some time, but correct me if I'm wrong, you've also adopted.
Yes, I've adopted two boys.
Okay, so you have two adopted sons. Do you also have foster children?
Yes, I have two biological girls.
So how does that work for you and the family? Yes, with the girls and the boys. You've adopted two. Mm-hmm. You are a foster parent to two. Talk to me about the dynamic of all of that.
Well, the dynamic, kids are usually very flexible, and I believe they feed off of our energy. So, like, the first time when I started talking to my girls about foster care, they were only three, but I made it, like, exciting. I was telling them how we're going to bring in kids from who need homes to stay. We'll love them. We may just be a season. We may be forever. But whatever we do, we'll love them like they, you know, are one of us, like we love each other. And then we'll either adopt or we'll take them back to their parents or help them be adopted. So I get them involved in whatever way I can. And when my boys first came, my girls were so excited about having a big brother and a little brother. So they were just like, this is amazing. And my entire family is on board with it. I'm not going to act like it's peaches and rainbows. Of course, there are challenges that present themselves, but I think with open communication and consistent guidance and just a safe, loving environment, it just does really well. So once I adopted my boys, I told them, okay, this is what we're going to continue to do. We're going to keep bringing in kids and we're going to keep loving them like this. So my kids are like excited. They're every time I get a new phone call about a kid who either needs respite or it's an emergency situation or they need long-term care, my kids are always super excited to jump in.
Interesting. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about becoming a foster parent or adopting. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call. Tanya, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Tanya. What's on your mind? Tanya, are you there?
Yes.
Go right ahead.
Yes, I was wondering, where are the children kept between the time they're removed from the home and the time they enter into a foster home? That time in between, where are they?
They're immediately placed with a foster family or with a biological family member.
Oh, so they okay, so it's not like they're in a holding pattern. Okay.
No, no. They're placed in a licensed foster home immediately. And then once they identify a family member, they investigate that family member, license them, and then change the child's placement.
I see.
Oh, so there are a lot of licensed people just out there, and then once a child is in need, then you just place them in those homes. So that's why the license. I got you. Okay.
Okay. Tanya, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Miss Gray calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Miss Gray, are you there? Miss Gray, give us a call back if you can. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Brittany, talk to me about the process of background checks and the like. You've been through the process with your husband. What's it like?
It is, it's a very long process, but, it's short too. So we had to do, what was called a pride training, and we had to be in classes for 28 hours. Like, we had to have 28 hours of this training to get us prepared for different situations we may come into with foster children. We did the CPS training that Judge was talking about, and the background checks, we actually had an adult living in our house at the time, so he had to become licensed. They interviewed my mom and two other people for a character witness to see if we needed to be foster parents. They dove head into like our finances and different things just to make sure we were bringing the children into a stable environment. So it was inspectors at our house, safety inspectors, and we had to have our fire plan. It was very, it was a very tedious process, but it made me happy to see that the county did take all of those steps to make sure that children wouldn't be removed from one unfortunate situation to another.
Now, you said the county, so are you in the district, or where are you?
I am in PG County. I'm a PG County foster home.
I see. Okay, and so that process comes under the Department of Human Resources in the state of Maryland.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
As I thought. Full disclosure: I worked for the Department of Human Resources under the state of Maryland, maybe about 12 years or so ago. So I am somewhat familiar with that process. Let me go back to the phone lines. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about foster parenting and adopting. Give us a call if you can. Tracy, calling from Bowie. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Tracy, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you for taking my call.
Go right ahead.
And I really wish you had more time. This really touched a nerve. My husband and I became licensed foster parents about, well, I guess it's 5.5 to 6 years ago now. I'm going from the beginning. Are you there?
Yeah, we're listening.
I'm going from the beginning to the end. We're now 6 years, 5.5 years later, and we have a beautiful little girl who we adopted. All things being equal, the process of terminating her parental rights, I don't know if anyone talked about this, about the parent, was relatively easy for us because we met the mother, and she really wanted us to have her little girl, so she didn't fight that process. So the termination process was easy. But what I'd really like to happen is that the department, since particularly you worked for them years ago, would explain to potential foster care parents, people who are interested, really what the process is like. The classes were great that we went through, and nothing can truly prepare you for taking a child into your home. We were lucky that we got a toddler, but there are a lot of children that are older. They have emotional issues, psychological issues, as the woman said. They're taken out of another home for a reason.
Yeah.
What they don't tell you is the gaps in help. I think a lot of your callers may think the foster care department, I'm only speaking of Prince George's County, is just one thing. There are different divisions. There
Tracy, can you, Tracy, I need you to hold on because I will ask both of my guests about this. And but I need you to hang on if you can so that you can hear the answer. Also, Marcia calling from Virginia, we're going to talk to you as well. We're going to continue this conversation about foster parenting and adoption. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More of this conversation on Sirius XM in just a few seconds. Stay with us.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight, we're taking a look at what it means to be a foster parent or an adoptive parent, what it means for you and the child. My guests are Magistrate Judge Tara Fentress and Brittany Borders. She is a foster and adoptive parent advocate. Judge Fentress is with the D.C. Superior Court. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Before the break, we were talking to Tracy, who was calling from Bowie, Maryland, and she was talking about the process for her in Prince George's County, Maryland. Brittany, kind of, I'll let you address some of the issues, and then Judge Fentress, I'll let you take on the back end. But suffice it to say, and I think Tracy made an interesting point, or profound point, I would say, is that nothing can truly prepare you for what comes with a foster child or an adoptive child, just kind of like if you have one on your own, there are plenty of books, but there's no book in the operating room. And so I think it's important that there are always going to be surprises. As Brittany said, this isn't all peaches and rainbows. But go ahead, Brittany. I'll let you start.
So, the department prepare us for as much as they could, and they actually gave us all of the worst case scenarios just so we will be prepared for the worst part that we could possibly get and then the easiest. I actually had two different situations with that. My oldest son was actually 6 when I met him. And with that came a whole set of, he knew who his biological mother was and he knew everything. Like, he remembered vividly the things that were said to him and the things that were done. So that presented a different set of challenges than my baby, who was 18 months when I got him. And I do believe that the department did as well as they could, but it's like with anything, you get training, but you don't really know how it's going to be until you're in it. So it's like I can talk till I'm blue on my face about it, but until you are actually called that there's a child that they need to drop off within an hour and the child gets there with one too small pull-up and no clothes, it's just, you know, nothing can prepare you for that. And so I've had probably 8 foster kids total, and I adopted 2. And every situation has been different. So you can't give like a cookie cutter training. There are some kids who are 5 who can't talk and still in pull-ups. I've had really little girls who talked a lot but decided to curse me out at 3. You know, so there has been so many different situations where I think a lot of people believe they don't want to get an older child because it will present a set of problems that they're not ready for. But I've had some five-year-olds being flat-footed, cuss me out, and try to scratch my eyeballs out. So it's kind of, but then you also get the kids who are extremely sweet, who just want to be loved, who don't get to, hadn't experienced that kind of love, and just the feeling of being in the home in a loving environment and structure, it makes all the difference in the world. So it's like you hear these horror stories about it, but then there are also great stories. And I don't know, I wish more people would do it, because we do need more foster parents. Because somebody asked a question earlier about the holding. Sometimes they are held at the department if there isn't a home available that will take them. And I am I'm on the emergency list, so I usually get a call no matter what time of day it is, no matter what day it is.
Mm-hmm.
But if I say no, like, they have to keep making calls until they get a home that will accept them.
Exactly. So. Let me have Judge Fentress also comment, because one of the things, and I think this is what Tracy was alluding to,
mm-hmm.
and do foster parents understand the circumstances under which they are receiving these children? Because I appreciate that Brittany was candid about the pros and the cons, and mm-hmm. and I think that's a really, really critical thing.
Yes. Initially, when the children are placed, the foster parents, as Brittany indicated, might not know all the details about the child.
Shouldn't
because
they?
They're looking for an emergency placement situation. I'm talking about with an emergency placement. But besides that, they are given information, background information about the child. But I think what's important to note is the children aren't coming into care because of their behaviors. The
right.
children are coming into care because of the parents' behaviors and the parents' issues. And so just as you have any children in a school setting or in a church setting or anywhere you go, some have behavioral issues and some
right.
don't. And you never know sometimes what the children's issues are until they actually surface. In
Absolutely.
D.C., we have services to address all the issues. If a child comes into care and they're a baby, we usually have developmental evaluations. If they're an older child, we have evaluations to make sure they're appropriately educationally placed. We have all types of services, therapy, counseling, tutoring, mentoring. Anything you could think of that a child might need, those services are available to our foster children in D.C. And I'd like to also make another point. There's a distinction between fostering and adopting. And you can sign up as a foster parent. It doesn't mean you're going to adopt a child.
Right, exactly.
Right.
And the foster children have to be placed in the home at least 6 months prior to their being an adoption. And so if they're interested in adopting down the road, they can. But we don't place children and then have the foster parent immediately file an adoption petition.
Okay. Right. Tracy, thank you so much for your phone call. We appreciate your listening. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. One of the things that I want to turn now to the adopting process, speaking about deciding to make a situation permanent. And Tracy did mention terminating parental rights. She said her situation was easy. But I would imagine that isn't always the case.
That's true. It's not always the case. Once a child is in the foster care system, and again, that parent has not done the services necessary to reunify with the child, then there is a legal process for terminating parental rights. However, in that process, the foster parents don't have to be involved. That's a process among the attorneys and the judge and the biological parents. If they have their rights terminated prior to the adoption petition being filed, then there's absolutely no contact or the parents are not involved in the actual adoption process. If the adoption is filed before the parental rights are terminated, the parents' rights are dealt with in the context of the adoption case or an adoption trial. And that's where Tracy was referring to having that interaction with the parents. The parents are present. The foster parents are present. It can be a very pleasant situation or it can be a very heated situation.
Having, if I may, having seen the not so pleasant situation, what happens when an adoptive, or not an adoptive, but a biological parent contests the termination of parental rights? Let us say that an adoptive parent or a parent wants to adopt a child, and that parent during this process decides that if there's a drug addiction or alcohol problem, that they are now sober or they are now clean, or that they are now working, and all of these things. How is that resolved?
Do you mean once the adoption is granted?
In process, or however however that biological parent has an opportunity to address that.
Right. They have an opportunity to address it, and there's a timeline. Mm-hmm. It's federal law, it's D.C. law, and I'm sure it's Maryland law. And so once that timeline lapses, we're in trial. I will say this, the majority of my cases and a lot of our cases in D.C. Superior Court, we get parents who consent to the adoptions because they recognize that this foster parent has been caring for their children for a year, 2 years. They might foster a relationship with the foster parent. They might enter an agreement where they can continue to have contact with their children even after the adoption. And so a lot of times it's not the fight in the courtroom between the foster parent and the biological parent. I see a lot more parents consenting. Matter of fact, today I took two or three adoption consents from parents. And they just recognize that they're not able to give the love, the care, the attention that that child needs, and that someone else is. And that's what it's all about. Who can provide the love, the permanency, the comfort, the care that this child needs on a long-term basis?
Brittany, you are a black woman, yes?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm assuming your husband is black?
Yes, he is.
But one of your adoptive sons is not. He's white.
Yes, he is.
How old is he?
He's four.
Mm-hmm. And the other boy is how old?
Nine.
He's nine. Okay, so at 4 years old, I am also a parent. And and so although my little girl is now a young woman, she's 20. But certainly at 4 years old, children really began to notice differences.
Right. Mm-hmm.
What is the plan and what is happening even now to address the fact that you and your husband are interracial adoptive parents?
Well, because we've had him since he was 18 months old, he knows no other parents than us. But that conversation has come up. It actually came up when he was two, and we just talked about the differences in our skin. But my daughter's a very, very fair skin, even though my husband and myself are black and they both have light eyes. So they thought for the longest time that all three of them were the same color and that my oldest son was just the only one who was black. And about a year ago, my daughter said, "His hair is different, and he's a lot paler. She's pale. They're six." And she said, what is he? Like, what color is he?" And he responded, he was like, "Girl, I'm black."
Yeah.
So we had to tell him, "No, buddy, you're not black. Mommy's black, but you're white." And we talked about that, and I tell them, child appropriately, our differences how we have differences and how the world will put different things on them. But as long as they stick together and as long as they always know we're family no matter what, and we're Christians, so we're big on this is what the body of Christ looks like. This is how Jesus' family looks. And so even though we may experience things from the outside, because we get a lot of people who look at us funny, especially by different Caucasians, they look at us trying to figure out what's happening, because most times you see a Caucasian family with an African-American child. So it's odd to see us, a young African-American family with a young Caucasian child, and then to hear him call me mommy. We get a lot of stares. So my kids are used to the attention and just open communication and telling them, okay, these are our differences and we celebrate our differences, but this is what we have alike. And we try to magnify the things that we have alike. Mm. And then I've also taken classes on interracial families that the county offers. So they do provide services to help out in any way that they can.
I have to take a break. When I come back, I have some other questions about that as well, and I appreciate you sharing this very intimate family issue with us. But I'm going to take a break. When we come back, more of this discussion about foster parenting and adopting. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our discussion about foster parenting and adopting. Before the break, we were talking to our advocate, Brittany Borders, about interracial adopting. And I wanted to ask you, Brittany, because here in the district, or even in the D.C. Metro, I should say, we... And if you don't know, and I'm talking to our listeners, there are lots of black children in the system.
Mm-hmm.
Tons of them. But you and your husband chose to adopt a black boy and a young white boy.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Well, why in foster care you don't choose. Like,
mm-hmm.
we always like to joke and say it's like a box of chocolates. You don't know what you're going to get until you bite into it. I didn't find out that my son, who I was going to pick up, was Caucasian until I got there. And of course, like the judge said, we don't go in with the idea of adoption because he wasn't supposed to get adopted. But 2 years in, it ended up changing to that. We are opening our home to whatever color child, whatever race needs a loving home, because at the end of the day, that's why we're in it, to help the children, no matter who they are, no matter where they came from, no matter what their background is, we're doing that. We actually did get a few people who didn't know that we had adopted a black child or that we were still fostering even other black children attack us. And my first response was, if you are so passionate, what have you done to help those kids in care? Mm-hmm. Like, it, because that is one of the most things that, like, gets my blood boiling when it comes to that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like people are so opinionated who are doing nothing about it. And it does seem to be, there are a lot of black kids in our area, but there's actually a larger percentage of Caucasian children in foster care, like much larger, and then African Americans and Hispanics are next. And so it's like the odds of getting a Caucasian child is not that low, you know, doing what we do. It's just in our area, it's a lot of African Americans. But,
right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we're open to, like all of the other children we receive have been African American outside of one, which was Hispanic. But we're not close to any child. Like, if we get a call, we're taking that child. If they need help, we don't say, oh, no, that child is white. Turn them away, and I'll wait for a black child.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, sometimes people can be very closed-minded when it comes to that, which is, you know, fine. I call it ignorant because it's not educated, not dumb.
Mm-hmm.
It's not educated. But my husband and I just decided, okay, if we're going to do this, we know what it'll entail. We know, are we ready? Like, can we handle this? And we decided, let's just do it. And this is how we're going to do it. We're going to change the world if we have to.
It sounds like it. And Judge Brittany just said something that I thought was really interesting, asking, can we handle it? From your position, what is it, what things do you believe adoptive parents should know? I want to focus specifically on the adoption process that they may not know or just not be prepared for.
Well, first of all, let me just say this. If you're interested in adopting, you don't have to be a particular race. You don't have to be rich. You don't have to be married, a particular religion or orientation. You just need to be ready to give unconditional love. And that's what every child needs. That's what every child deserves. And as Brittany indicated, it's not a matter of, you know, is this the type of child I want? This is a child that, after they're in your care for a while, you fall in love with them.
Because it's not like buying a car.
No. They fall in love with you. You fall in love with them. And it becomes just as rewarding for that child to have a loving parent as it is for that parent to say, this is my child. I see tears of joy during adoption ceremonies, mostly from the adults. It's the parents. The children get the love, but the parents, their hearts are touched as well. And the thing is, once these children, no matter how they came into your care, receive the unconditional love, they thrive just like any other child. We have many children who've gone off to college. We have a lot of children who are currently in college. One young man, I've taken a couple different ones under my wing. I've attended college graduations. One young man, he's graduated from college. He's gone on to grad school. He's working in his career field, his chosen field. They go on to do great things, just like anyone else who grew up with their biological family. And so it's not like these children are separated or different from any other child. And even when you give birth to children, you don't know what their issues are going to be.
Happened, yeah.
And as they go through the different stages of development, you run into different issues.
But the only thing I think that you do know is that they're going to be running the household for quite a little bit of time.
That's right.
Do you have to be a foster parent first before adopting, or can you just seek to adopt?
You can do that in a private setting, but with respect to foster care children in care, you would have to have the child placed with you for at least 6 months before you can file an adoption petition.
So you would have to become a foster parent first?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, because the child has to live with you. You have to get used to the child and vice versa. And we always want to see that there's a good match. Every child doesn't fit in every family, and every family's not for every child.
Mm-hmm.
And we really, really try our best to make sure this is a permanent, loving, forever home.
Mm-hmm. You were going to say something, Brittany.
Oh, no, I was agreeing with everything that she was saying.
Mm-hmm. Because it's well publicized that, you know, D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser has adopted a child. It's a really big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And so with that said, I just want to make sure that I'm clear in the district, even if your sole purpose is to adopt, is there some kind of selection process through the foster system, or do you just have to wait until you get a call after you have registered and gone through the process.
That's it. You wait to get a call after you've registered and gone through the process. Again, there are other ways to adopt children who are not in the foster care system, but those are private adoptions and go through different channels. We just celebrated Adoption Day in the District of Columbia a couple weeks ago, and Mayor Bowser was there with her daughter, explained the process that she went through, and we had 31 children adopted into 22 families, and it was just a wonderful celebration. There's nothing like it. The judges, the attorneys, the social workers, when we see adoptions finalized or even a child reunified with their biological family, that's the best day we can see.
You know, Brittany, years ago, particularly for Black families, adoption was often a secret. It was not something that was talked about at all. There was often a stigma attached to it. As someone who has done this for many years, how do you address that issue with the children?
That we celebrate it. We don't keep it a secret. We talk about it, and I let them talk about it. I tell my kids, the girls came from mommy's stomach and the boys came from mommy's heart, and they absolutely love it. And so I have books now that talk about adoption, and we read those, and we celebrate it like it's something, almost to the point where my girl said the other day, well, I want to be adopted. Like, no, it doesn't work that way. But they think it's like such a cool thing, and because it's something that I've decided to advocate for, I asked my boys, like my son, my oldest son actually just told me last night, mommy, I don't mind you sharing, because I tell him all the time, that's your story to share. Like, I'll share my part of it, but when you're old enough and when you're ready, that's your story to share. And he told me last night, well, mom, if it's going to help other kids, you know, get adopted, or other kids come into homes that love them like this, I want to be able to share too. So I'll record him and he'll talk on my social media platforms and we'll just share what he can. And it has really started to create a buzz where people are now at saying, well, my child is adopted, but they don't know, how should I tell them, you know?
Yeah.
So it has become one of those things, just like, don't make it a secret.
Right.
And from the very beginning, figure out little ways to just drop hints so it won't be such a huge load on them, you know, the end.
Well, Brittany, I've got to stop you there, and I think it's a good place to end, because I'm actually out of time, but I'm glad that you have plenty to talk about with those who are in need of advice and support. So thank you so much for sharing your experience with us this evening.
Thank you.
And Judge Tara Frentress, thank you.
Thank you.
For doing what you do as well, and for coming in. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Tuesday, December 4th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now, stay tuned for The Connection. Good night.